Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Don't let a wild pube wreck you. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and our sponsors at Manscaped are here for you for the best tools to get your balls ready for the special occasion. This V-Day, it's time to join the nearly 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming, with our exclusive offer. To get this, go to Manscaped.com and use promo code Bubba, that's B-U-B-B-A, for 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts, their shed travel bag and the anti-chafing boxer brief, to keep your boys stored comfortably. And to complete the perfect package for your package are liquid formulations like the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. You gotta have both of those. Start your day off with a deodorant for your boys, then stay cool all day with toner to keep them feeling the best all day and night. These formulations will have your ball smelling like a king on your big day. Go to Manscaped.com for our exclusive offer and 20% off free shipping with the Bubba code. Your balls and your lady will thank you. Join Cupid and shoot your arrow with Manscaped this Valentine's Day.
Hey, Brian.
Hey.
I think we're live.
We're live, just like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't play music.
And we're live.
Hold on, ready? Hey, everyone.
No, hey.
You know, hold on, ready? Welcome to the Lummy Sports Show with Babyface. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We have a lot of action-packed sports talk to talk about you. It was a crazy football weekend.
Crazy? How about the greatest weekend in NFL history? And our team lost, and we're able to say that.
Yes, I went to the game. It was absolutely amazing. I don't think yelled as much as I did, and I'm not a yeller.
Yes, you are.
No, trust me, not in that.
You're losing your voice though, doing that. Why aren't you doing your monster truck voice for this show?
I don't have to right now.
No, Bubba said you did. He texted
Welcome
me.
Welcome to the Lummy Sports Show with Babyface.
It's great to be here.
It's great.
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
813-90-BUBBA. 813-90-BUBBA. Bring your questions to Brian. We're doing a special sports show today at 12 o'clock. Brian's got a little bit of a scheduling conflict. Normally, we're on at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5:30. Feeling real good. A lot of NFL stuff. Baseball, I really was hoping that we would have that hour and a half because I kind of wanted to get into the Hall of Fame talk.
But I mean the Hall of Fame talk's a waste of time at this point. They've planted their flag in the ground in terms, and they've drawn their line in the sand. They've said, if you have personal issues or if you were a steroids guy, we're not going to let you into the Hall of Fame. That's where they're at right now.
Yeah, David Ortiz. Okay.
Well, never directly, right?
Technically, he got caught.
Dominican
Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of got caught, but you know what the problem? You know what the difference is? Barry Bonds was a dick to the press. David Ortiz was lovable.
Well, and he's still, you know, the media's embraced him. He's still doing it with A-Roid.
Which I don't think that guy's. I think he's going to be sitting there with your boy Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
Mark McGuire to Sammy Sosa.
Well, I mean, he definitely was a notorious one. Who knows? It doesn't make a lot of sense, right? But somebody was going to get in this time, and it was just David Ortiz.
Real quick take, do you feel that, I mean, yes, Barry Bonds had a great career before his head grew 32 inches.
But here's the thing. That was the game he played in. 90% of the players were fucking cheating. So it wasn't like he was playing against, he was the only one using steroids.
Do you think Ken Griffey took steroids?
Probably took something.
Come on. The reason why all players break down, like Ken Griffey did when he hit 33, 34, is that I don't think he ever did anything.
No, steroids cause you to break down. Once it goes quickly with steroids. And what you see, players who get a lot of oblique strains, things like that that aren't typical in baseball.
Ken Griffey was hamstring.
Yeah, I know. He got a lot of hammies. He may or may not have, but for the most part, I would say 75 to 90% of the players in that era of the mid-90s on were cheating.
You mean Sammy Sosa when he sneezed really hard, he got an oblique injury? Or Jeff Kent that fell off his truck and got injured?
Yeah, they all were, you know, and they were testing the limits. And baseball needed it. That's the part that infuriates me about it the most, is that coming off the strike, baseball was floundering. It was the mid-90s. They were losing everything. And then the you know, Cal Ripken Jr. helped with the whole Iron Man thing, but then it was really the Maguire-Sosa home run chase,
but
right?
You know what? But I really feel at that point, too, Ken Griffey was not. Because Ken Griffey was coming off an unbelievable year right before the strike. Remember, they were going, it was Matt Williams, him, Brady Anderson. Well, I think Brady Anderson was on juice, obviously. Matt Williams,
Matt Williams, juice, come on.
But Ken Griffey, I think he was in his pinnacle.
Okay, so he
30s.
Was the only one. Yeah, I understand you love Ken Griffey Jr.
No,
he
I don't,
was
though.
The only
Hold
one.
On, but I don't, though.
Oh, you don't. You hate Ken Griffey Jr.
No, no.
Oh,
I respect him because I feel he doesn't take steroids.
Well, here's the thing. Even if he did, sweetest swing in the history of the game.
It is, actually.
I mean, you know, so regardless, I don't care. That's the point. I don't care. They were all cheating. They were all playing under essentially the same set of rules. Even if they weren't all cheating, the vast majority, probably upwards of 90% of them, were. So who?
I wouldn't say 90%.
Oh man!
Come on, man! Those guys that didn't.
Absolutely, they're all there. And today they all cheat with Adderall. Give me a break, man. They're all ever going back to Greenies.
That's prescribed.
Going back. Okay, it's prescribed. It's prescribed cheating. Most of these guys do not have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And beyond that, most of them probably, I mean, do you need Adderall to play baseball? Do you really need Adderall to focus on the field? Like, you're losing interest in the middle of a 9-inning game? Give me a break.
I mean, if you listen to the guys in the 80s with the Greenies, I mean, they would be looking for chicks and go into the back and start, you know, banging
Adderall,
them.
Adderall is abused like Greenies. They're Blueies instead of Greenies. I mean, it's ridiculous. What's ridiculous to me is that baseball knew about it. Baseball needed it. Baseball thrived off of it. Baseball capitalized on it. And then they turned around and threw them all under the bus. Fuck Bud Selig. Fuck Major League Baseball. Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if he's a dick. I don't care whatever you want to say about him. On field performance. Look at all the players that are in the hall that turned out to be pieces of shit. And if we knew about what they were doing
personal life, I don't think should matter.
Oh, well, Omar Vizquel's on the phone. He would like to speak with you. I mean, not that he was going to make
Mitro?
It. Not that he was going to make it anyways. And Curt Schilling, it's not just.
Whoa. Curt Schilling, because he took a political stance?
Well, not just a political stance. He was supporting the insurrection on January 6th. I mean, that didn't help his cause.
Are you still blaming him for his fake blood on his sock?
I don't care about that either. I really don't think it was real, but whatever. Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares?
It's how you do on the field.
That's what it really should come down to at that point. If, you know... If the league wants to blackball you afterwards, that's fine. But the Hall of Fame should be about on-field performance.
Exactly. Look at O.J. Simpson.
Now, there are some people.
He never killed anyone, but he did pull a gun out and threaten multiple people's lives in Vegas. I just said he never killed anyone.
Well, he was never convicted of killing anyone.
Hold on, Brian. I'm just saying he was never found guilty, and he's proven innocent. So guess what? All he went to jail for because he, you know— was sticking up some people, but he's still in there.
There's certain things that you can do as a human being that maybe they don't want to celebrate you, or they could have you in the Hall of Fame but not really featured in the Hall of Fame. You know, like, you're a Hall of Famer, but we're not going to put your, you know, we're not going to celebrate you. And that's fine, too. Maybe you don't put, you know, the bust of Barry, however Major League Baseball wants to handle it.
Maybe they made the bust for Barry Bonds, but they had to extend it.
The head was
2 inches.
They couldn't
fit it on the shelf. Yeah.
There wasn't a 3D printer around that could make it.
It couldn't fit the 8 3/4 head that all of a sudden he got when he first started in the league. He had a 7.5. But, I mean, look, people's heads grow as you go, right?
Look at you, though. I bet you your head is much bigger now than it was when you were 18.
No, that's not true.
I bet you it is.
No, I swear to God, my head at the time, because they didn't make size 8s when I was 18, 2001, 2002, I had to actually cut my New Era hat because the biggest hat they made was 7 7/8, and my head was an 8 at that point, and I never did steroids. So, and I still wear a size 8. My head didn't go from a, you know, a 7 to a 8 3/4. I mean, your head, what is it, like a 6?
Like 7 1/4.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you pushing it?
I got a big head, dude.
I guess you got to fit all that teeth. But
all them brains, man.
Yeah, yeah, all the brains and all the teeth. But, yeah, I mean, that's besides the point because we're going to have a lot of time to talk about baseball. Hopefully baseball does, you know, sit here and come back. I think they're going to solve that problem in February when pitchers and catchers got to decide. Keith Tollinger with 100 starts. Thank you. I kind of want to get into football. There's been obviously the games were crazy. We've kind of gotten into that one. You called into the Bubba Show. Thank you, Bubba the Love Sponge. It will be live tomorrow, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy.
And I will be there.
And Brian.
With Regina.
Babyface,
with 8:30, Regina.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. That's the time you texted us. I don't know if he meant that or what, but that's what we're going
to
go with.
So he will be live tomorrow. But I kind of wanted to get into a little bit of the coaching stuff, like a little bit of the games coming up. We do have an hour. We're going to be here till 1 o'clock. Babyface is, you know, he is a lawyer. He is very busy. So I want to jump into this. The one thing I kind of want to jump into, I think he's going to be calling here. This guy has been blasting me up. Antonio Brown, who I think is literally non-existent, and Edon Smith with 310 stars. Thank you. Antonio Brown supposedly was on Twitter, Instagram, something wearing a Ravens jersey.
Yeah, somebody posted a photo of him or whatever.
Do you think he goes there?
I think he'd like to. I think he's, you know, he's an ass clown, man.
Yeah, I think he lost.
Big E, 7375, $10 cash. Thanks, man. He says, go Pens.
Oh, look at that. It's almost like it's perfect timing.
Chittsburg's doing well, though. They've gotten hot all of a sudden.
443.
What's up, guys?
Oh, geez.
Yeah, see, the reason I brought that up because I knew he'd probably be calling in with his horrible Ravens take with his...
I am so excited.
This guy actually thinks
You're excited that one guy said that he wants to be on the team, and then your quarterback, like, posted a devil emoji about it? I mean, I don't...
Oh, and by the way, he won't get injured next year either, Brian.
Well, he won't get injured, and he won't blow up.
Because he has
man.
One wide receiver. They have no running backs.
And he's not going to get COVID because he is vaccinated.
It's a terrible... It would be a terrible signing for them.
Yep.
It's a reach signing. You have all of free agency. You have the draft. You can address your needs in other ways. If you get into the season or if you get up to the season and you still have a glaring hole at wideout, then you take a chance on Antonio Brown. You don't sign him early in the offseason.
No, and Antonio Brown's going to want $10 million.
Oh, he's out of his...
The only positive that would come from us signing him would be next year, about 3 or 4 games in, he would blow up on Greg Roman because of the play calling, and then Greg Roman would be fired, which absolutely needs to happen sooner than later.
Well,
I'm so sick of
it. Or what's going to happen is
team and play calling.
Lamar Jackson will get injured, and then if you guys don't re-sign your backup, then next thing you know, he's got, what's his name, Josh Johnson throwing to him, and he takes off his whole entire – he streaks across the field.
Tyrod Taylor.
Josh Johnson looked like a starter when he played, you know.
I thought the same thing back when he was with the Bucs for 10 years in preseason.
Everybody looks good. Everybody looks good in bits and pieces on the field when they get in there, and then when teams actually can game plan for them and strategize for the backup, well, you know, nobody's preparing to play Huntley when they're game planning for the Ravens. So when he gets thrust into the game in mid game, it's a different story. But when they're preparing for you and they've got tape and they know what to expect, these mediocre guys after 2 or 3 weeks always get exposed.
I wish the NFL would stand up and say, you know what, Antonio Brown, take a year off, buddy. Take a year
Brian
off.
Brian and Lummy, what do you think about the NFL overtime rules?
Well, it's so funny to me that these rules are there, right? And everybody's, you know, these rules have been a problem forever. They were a problem when it was just first score wins, sudden death. So they switched it to this. Then they shortened it because they didn't want games going 15 minutes. For the play, I like the rules for the regular season. For the playoffs, make it each team gets a possession guaranteed, and then you know. But this was like the one scenario where you have two teams that weren't playing any defense whatsoever in that game. You had two offenses that were firing on all cylinders, and it just felt like whoever was going to win the coin toss was going to win the game because they were going to go down the field and score a touchdown.
And I think in the playoffs you don't go with the tie, obviously, but I do agree with you. Both teams get a possession, and then after that you still do the same exact thing. Kick off and you go until one team does not score. Well, that's how it is in the playoffs.
I see both arguments. I've seen both arguments about, like, the whole defense wins championship things and things like that, which I get that. However, you don't want a game – like, that was easily one of the best games ever. You don't want it to end like that. Who cares if they don't have a defense, especially with as much effort that the NFL has put into making it an offensive league. Like, you have to be able to – like, yes, both teams need to touch the ball.
But the NFL loves it, though, because this is the thing with the NFL. Yeah, they'll say they'll talk about it, blah, 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 but it has everybody talking about the NFL for the next week, 2 weeks, offseason, talking about how they can change it. They'll look at it, got it, but maybe 3 years down the line.
Well, there's a couple different proposals. So one is they call it the auction proposal, where each team, like, essentially writes down on a piece of paper and hands it to the ref where they're willing to start with the ball.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So let's say I'm confident in my offense. We're going to start from our own 5-yard line. And you put down, I'm confident in my offense. We're going to start from our own 10-yard line. Well, because I picked the 5-yard line, I get the ball first from my 5-yard line.
Is this a real thing?
This is one of the proposals that has been put out there that you know, people have talked about. Another one is the one that the Ravens came up which is stupid, in my opinion, which is one team gets to pick where the ball starts, and then the other team gets to pick if they want to be on offense or defense to start. And so let's say they said, okay, we want the ball, put the ball at our own 25-yard, at the team's own 25-yard line, and then each team gets to pick who would want that. I don't like that one as much. I think the only solution that makes any sense is to do each team gets one possession and then you go alternating. If each team continues to score touchdowns,
then you go to the college
it
rule.
Continues. No. The game continues.
You keep playing? Okay.
Yeah. If one team ends up having to kick a field goal, then the whole continuing the game thing stops. So you then kick a field goal, then it's and to tie it up. So you get your alternating possession. You kick a field goal to tie it up, then it's the next score wins. At that point,
what if they kick a field goal? Though,
what do you think about?
Then it's still the next score.
That's
wins.
What I'm saying. Okay, yeah,
because
perfect.
you're giving that team is then in the driver's seat. Right? Well, yep. They have an advantage. They know that if they go down and score a touchdown, that they win the game at that point. Or if they choose to kick a field goal, let's say it's 4th and 5 from the 25-yard line, and they choose to tie it and keep the game going, then they know that the next score wins. And so that to me is fair. But when you have teams going out there and just scoring touchdown. I mean, I don't foresee that there would ever be a game where a team would just, you know, it would go on for, you know, 20 possessions. But
what about in chat? So if they score a touchdown on your possession, they have to go for two.
I hate that rule because now you've made it a special teams game. You've made it a one-trick pony goal line. To me, I don't like it.
They score the touchdown.
Right, but you've still brought the game down to a coin flip. Whether or not your team can convert on its best 4th and 2 play, essentially.
Goal line play.
I don't like it.
What do you think about similar to college rules, but back it up to where there's no kickoff? You start, let's say you start from your 30-yard line. If both teams score, you move it up to the 40-yard line. Both teams score, you move it up to the 50-yard line and just see where that takes. Because kickoffs, I feel like they've tried to do away with kickoffs in the league just because of injuries and things like that, but that way it's consistent. I don't know. I just think both teams need to get a chance to touch the ball, and it needs to happen sooner than later.
Yeah, it probably will. They'll address it this offseason. That was the perfect game for it because of the ending, because of the stakes, and because of the way it played out. And that everybody knew whoever won that coin toss was going to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
It was crazy that I was sweating the over for that game in the fourth quarter, and then it ended up over 70 points. So I was pretty happy about that.
Good, since you lost your ass the week before.
And he also lost his ass.
I actually did well this week.
No, you didn't. Well, this weekend. I said the week before. All right, buddy, take it easy. We'll talk to you again another time. Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, he's, you know, Ravens Mark. I mean, come on. Come on, Little Purple. You're better than that.
He's excited for AB. If you're excited for AB.
He is excited for AB.
And then your team's pathetic. Then your team's pathetic. Yeah,
I would be more excited if you guys went out and got a running back that was actually good in 2020.
Why don't they draft some offensive players? How about that, other than tight ends?
When you just said that, I said, what about Mark Andrews? Then you said tight end.
Other than tight ends.
He's going to say Lamar Jackson.
Just Lamar Jackson. Then you can stop there.
He was an undrafted free agent.
Huntley, yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. So, all right.
Hold on. We got a 225 number. What's up, 225?
Hey, Lummy, Jay from New Orleans again.
Hey, what's up, New Orleans?
Hey, man, just wanted you guys' thoughts on Sean Payton stepping away, and maybe the Bucs can actually consistently win the division from time to time.
Yeah, that was my next thought.
If Brady's out, we'll see. I think it's a great move on his part. You know, you've got salary cap hell.
$77 million?
You have no clear answer at quarterback. You've got most likely Dallas job opening up next season. I don't blame him for taking a year, getting his mentals in order, resting and preparing for his next gig. I think it's a smart move on his part. He doesn't owe the city of New Orleans or that organization anything else. He's you know, made you guys relevant again for the first time in you know, ever.
Well, before he came on, they were under 500 for a franchise.
Right.
And then he, I think, got a 626 record.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's and a lot of it is Breeze, but they've continued to do pretty well with the exception of this season without Breeze.
They did well this season.
But it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah.
The defense was still stellar.
Considering what they had to deal with this season, with COVID, with injuries, you know, Jameis gets hurt early in the season. He's out for the year. Most of the offensive line was gone the majority of the season due to injury. Our star wide receiver has been out all year.
He's not a star wide receiver anymore. He's done. His career's over.
Well,
I think he's done.
We can debate that too.
I think Michael Thomas is done.
I agree.
It'll be almost two seasons since he made a meaningful contribution starting next year. I mean,
maybe the Saints can get AB.
Yeah,
I agree. However, when you put all that together this season, Sean Payton was still able to get 9 wins for the Saints. I'd say that's pretty impressive. In fact, had the Rams held up their end of the deal, the Saints would have been in the playoffs. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm just saying, as a New Orleans Saints fan, lifelong Saints fan, this is devastating for us, man.
Well,
and hopefully it turns into something good for the Bucs.
Well, Brian, what coach would even be attracted to this with the 70-something million dollar, you know, over the cap space? I mean, like, does anything even look attractive to you if you were a coach?
Well, no. And the problem for the Saints is they were talking about, hey, maybe we can get Rodgers. Hey, maybe we can get Wilson. Hey, maybe not anymore. You can't.
Not anymore. They're
not anymore. You can't. So
no, that's exactly right.
What fucks them. It's not even just the fact that they're losing their head coach, who is an exceptional, probably one of the best three in the league. Right. It's not even that. It's that now, yeah, nobody's going to go there. Nobody's going to sign there as a free agent to be under some coach, some also-ran coach. It kills them, man. They're in trouble. It's a very pivotal time for the Saints organization.
I can see the Saints being almost like the Texans this year, where they're going to go out and get a lot of Tyrod Taylor. No, they are. I mean, they're going to have to cut a bunch of players. They're going to have to get rid of a lot of players, and they're going to have to sign players under, like, a certain amount of money, and then just hope. They're almost like they're going to have to do what the Rays do. They're going to have to underpay for veterans, like a Tyrod Taylor.
Here's the ace in the hole, Lummy. Lummy, here's the ace in the hole.
You got Bourbon Street?
Pardon me for interrupting you. Mickey Loomis, the GM for the Saints, he is a master. He's almost as good as Brian, you know, at kicking the can down the road, you know, creating – cap space, and you know, he's a magician when it comes to making the cap stuff work.
This is gonna this is gonna take some David Blaine, David Copperfield level magic shit this year, because he's gonna have to restructure so many of these guys. The problem with doing that is that you mortgage your future, and you really only want to restructure when you are competing for championships. You don't want to restructure when you're going to be entering a rebuild. So they need to, with the coaching hire, sit down and really evaluate how this team wins consistently, not just next season. I agree with you. With what they have on the table, they can be a playoff team. They're not going to do anything in the playoffs, but they can be a playoff team.
Yeah,
but then what about 2023? What about 2024? Or how much of those future seasons are you willing to mortgage at this point to stay competitive next season? That's the question they have to answer.
But hold on. You brought up Michael Thomas. You said he's done, right? Well, he has a cap number right now of $24.7 million.
Yeah.
And then Cameron Jordan has a cap of $23 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have two guys right there.
I mean, are you kidding? Marshawn Lattimore is $27.5 million, his cap hit currently. I mean, you can only restructure these guys so much. They've already done that, being the point, which is why these cap hits are so huge. If they have to restructure again, they are mortgaging 2023, 2024, 2025. And can you do that if you find an answer at quarterback? You can do that if you find a coach that you think is going to lead you to be successful. You can especially do that if Brady's retiring and the Bucs are in kind of flux. Although they'll still be competitive, because the rest of the division is so uncertain right now.
They're old.
Well, I mean, Carolina and Atlanta ain't very good, but I mean, Taysom Hill has a $12.3 million cap hit.
Listen,
do you think that's a terrible contract that they signed him on?
I think they trade Michael Thomas. If he's dead, I'm sure like someone will take a chance on Michael Thomas.
They're going to have to retain a lot of his contract in order to trade him, though, I think.
Yeah,
the Saints are still going to have some dead money on that deal, even if they trade him. But here's my question to both of you. You're Mickey Loomis. You're the GM of the Saints. What do you do this year?
You blow up the stadium.
What's that?
You almost got to quit, too. There's no way you can restructure this and save a team. There's so many guys you got to cut.
It's not cutting.
Re-sign Jameis.
You can't cut these guys. It's dead cap money. It's still going to hit you.
Yeah, I know, but
no. But I mean, like, I'm looking at their dead cap numbers. It cost them $40 million to cut Marshawn Lattimore, $27.5 million to keep him. Michael Thomas, they only saved $2 million if they cut or trade him. I mean, these guys have their right tackle is a $37 million.
Yeah.
That's my point. Is they restructured the last three seasons to get to this point, and now they have nothing left. They are in really, really dire straits. And so what they need to do is just say, we're going to bite the bullet. We're going to go with like basement bargain value players
to fill out
our roster.
Like a Texans.
And we'll have to just kind of reset here. But the problem for them is they're not going to be like the Texans. They'll still win 8 games with the roster that they have.
They'll have a couple good players, and hopefully they find – well, I mean, I really don't care because I hope they lose, but they're going to have to find players,
yeah,
you know, like a Tyrod Taylor or, you know, a David Johnson or whoever, you know, is going to be out there looking to just get a job and come through as a veteran and making – like a Mark Ingram. Yeah, he's – yeah, par. He got cut from the Ravens, traded, but he got $2.3 million. That's what's going to have to happen to the Saints roster. I mean, do you agree, Brian?
Yeah, well, and the problem for them is they've got these great players that are in their prime, like Alvin Kamara. He's got a couple seasons left. We've already seen the dip in production this year. I think it's going to continue. These running backs are like Glade plugins, and they smell good until they don't. And then it's quick, right? You don't know when a Glade plug-in's going bad unless you look at it and on the inside. All of a sudden, you smell it, and then the next day, you don't.
Yeah.
And that's the way these running backs in the league are. And I think Kamara's, you know, he's got probably another year in him, another 2 years. But what good is he to you?
What good is he to you?
Well, you want him so that you can have a Ravens-like season and go 8-9 and not make the playoffs and get to draft at 15th instead of in the top 10.
So what do you do with Taysom Hill then?
You make him your starter so that you can go, so that you guarantee that you go, you know, 4-13. Because
I understand why you guys are saying that, but as a fan, I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Do you want to be mediocre for the next 5 years, or do you want to be bad for the next 2 or 3 years and then good again? Because
yeah, absolutely, I'd love to be
hold on.
Again.
I'm going to tell you something right now as a Bucks fan, and Brian would probably agree. During the Gruden era, when Gruden was bringing all these veterans in and trying to hang on, we were mediocre. You know, we'd get that 500, maybe a playoff berth here and there. But guess what? We sold that whole franchise for the next 10 years when we're absolute dog shit and you're 4-12 going, oh, well, at least we got the fifth pick, the fourth pick, the third pick, and then you have a GM that doesn't know what he's doing and you're fucked.
No, you got to have a GM that knows what they're
doing.
No,
but you know what I'm saying, Brian?
Yeah, no, it could be. You could enter that, but you could enter that phase. And I think, you know, it was looking for a hot minute there that Jason Light had no clue what he was doing.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, remember when Gruden would bring in the Jeff Garcia, the Brian Greasy, and we just kept, like, trying to 9-7, 8-8, 10-5.
Oh, it's the worst place to be. Yeah, it's the worst. You either want to be terrible or great in the NFL.
Exactly.
Being mediocre is the worst because it traps you into a rut of mediocrity. And the only thing that pulled the Bucks out of it were a couple good drafts and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Yep.
I mean, we had everything else.
And getting rid of Jameis Winston.
And you got the problem for the Saints is how do you even go about obtaining a marquee quarterback at this point? Who's going to be your quarterback next year? And how does he and if it's not one of the guys on your roster already, how do you bring another guy in?
That's my question. Okay, you're the GM of the Saints. You know, do you draft a quarterback in the first round this year?
No, none of them are good.
No, you're gonna have a David Carr in your hands.
None of them are good. None of them. First of all, one of them statistically, one of them will pan out to be an okay quarterback. But none of them are NFL ready coming out of college.
Nope.
None of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett's the best one physically. Kenny Pickett at a Pitt, and they're projecting him go like 12th. Maybe.
Yeah, you're not getting them. Your best bet is to like go try to get a quarterback from like the guy from the Ravens or one of the backups right now and just stick him in there.
No, just run with what you. Their best bet is to run with what they've got.
No, their best bet is to get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, he hasn't been on the Saints yet.
No, because they're locked into Hill.
That's a good call.
You know, even Winston costs them $3 million next year.
Yeah, what a bum.
I mean, that's the problem, right? That you can't do anything about that. I mean, you can re-sign him and restructure him, but you're not going to get him for less than $3 million.
I would be totally against re-signing Jameis. The guy, I'm sorry, he's got to go. Yes. Now he's a health risk. He's got to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you ride with Ian Book, you know, Blake Bortles.
No.
You can't.
No, or Trevor Siemian, they all have to go.
Well, Bortles will be cut.
Not the answer either.
Bortles will be cut because he's got no cap money. I mean, he's got no dead cap, so he's subject to be cut. You got a couple million-dollar guys that you can cut, but it's
Well, thank you, New Orleans.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, buddy.
I don't envy them right now, and it was a genius move by Peyton to get out of there.
So my question was with Peyton. They said Jerry Jones loves him. And do you think he goes to broadcasting or do you think Jerry Jones says, well, shit, we got to fire McCarthy and bring in Peyton? We got to get him when the going's good.
I mean, I don't think Peyton's going to meet. He doesn't want to be the villain. He's going to take a year off. He's going to let Jones is going to give his guy one more year. And then they'll pull the plug and bring in Peyton.
There's so much talent, though, on that Cowboys offense. If Peyton went there, it would be a dangerous team.
They're dangerous. They're the Cowboys, though. And that's what I fear for Sean Peyton, is that as soon as he goes there, Mike McCarthy was a good coach with the Packers, too, if I recall correctly. And they actually won some games in the playoffs with him.
I think they did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you don't think Sean Payton has that swagger? Says, so hey, Jared, you want me to come here? Well, guess what, buddy? I'm going to run it. You ain't going to tell me how to run it. I'm not going to have meetings with you with play calling. You think Jerry Jones steps back?
I think that's the greatest thing for that team. That's what they need. And maybe he's starting to realize it. Maybe he's going to swallow his pride and slow down a little bit in old age and let the professionals that he hires do what they're hired to do and not play amateur GM, amateur head coach anymore. Because he is one of the things that are holding the Cowboys back, just like Al Davis held back the Raiders for so many years.
Yeah, but I mean, Al Davis, at least, you know, he was a coach. He kind of knew. I mean, it was the 70s and 80s, but still, like, I feel like he had a little bit more than
he had a little
Jerry
more
Jones.
Street cred, but he held them back in the 90s. You would agree with that, right?
I would 100% agree with you. 727?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good show. It's Fozzy. I wonder if you guys think if Brady and Gronk leave, if possibly Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams could come down. There's no rebuilding to be done here. That, and then I wanted to leave you with a question. What's the difference between being a Pro Bowler and making the Pro Bowl? Thanks. I'll hang up and Liz isn't.
Thanks, Fozzy. So there's no way that Aaron Rodgers is coming. There's no way the Packers are going to trade.
Well, that would be the issue, right? They would have to trade. And you know, the Packers, again, they hold all the cards because they can slap that franchise tag on Devontae Adams all they want.
Yep.
And he may not like it, and Rodgers may not like it, and the rest of the locker room may not like it, but there's nothing that they can do to stop him from doing it.
And Rodgers is under contract for another year.
The franchise tag sucks.
Yep.
Okay, ask Chris Godwin how much it sucks. The franchise tag probably cost Chris Godwin $10 to $15 million.
Yep.
Because I know there's still going to be a market for him, but he's coming back off an ACL tear. It's a significant injury, although players recover better from that now than they did 20 years ago. It's still a significant injury, and he had the tag slapped on him this season for fiscal reasons. The Bucks didn't do it to be vicious. They did it because they couldn't keep the band together without it. And
because I know the Dolphins wanted him, and I know the Dolphins, I think, offered him like 5 years, like $110 million.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, you know, $22 million a year. We'll see what he gets. I think it'll probably be more like $16-17 million a year. So the guarantee number is really what's important in the NFL, more so than the total contract value, unlike baseball, which is still a travesty to me.
Yeah, I know.
It's, you know, Adams, I think, will play for the Packers next year no matter what. I think they hold the cards, man. They can force Aaron Rodgers to stay.
Yeah, but that salary cap, man, it's going to be tough. What is it, 30?
It's going to go up, so you got to keep that in mind. So
not that much, though.
About 20, 25 million, I think, it's projected to go up.
So there's still, I mean, yeah.
But I'm saying it's not as bad as it seems when you're looking at this hard number right now, basing it upon the 2021 cap number. We know the 2022 cap number is going up with the new TV, some of the new TV money kicking in. So it's, I think, projected to be right up against 300 million, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like right there. It's like 290, 295, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be projected right up there. I'm sorry. What did we say? It's
for the projected cap.
Yeah, I'm trying to see exactly where they're getting it at, but probably right darn near the adjusted salary cap is what, 208, and then you have all the tweaks and everything
money.
Like that.
I was
going
to let you look it up while 863 talked.
Yeah, but it's actually like 200 and it'll probably be 210 million, 218 million. I don't know what they said it's going to be. They said it's expected to grow to 208.2 million, and I think it was at what, 188 this season?
Yeah, it was set at 208 for the 2022 season.
208 for the 2022. That's 20. Oh, it went up 26 million from last year.
So pretty good.
Yeah.
863.
Hey, guys, quick question. Did the Dolphins pick up a coach yet?
No, they didn't. And that was, man, it's perfect because the Dolphins.
I was about to say, you think Peyton would be good down there? I mean, he's wasn't Tua kind of like a Taysom Hill type quarterback where he ran in college and through, or no?
Yeah, Tua sucks though, man.
He's
Tua
not
sucks.
As mobile as Hill at all. Hill is a mobile quarterback. Tua's more of a pocket passer than Hill is.
Well, that would play into helping out. Peyton coming down if he wanted to act like he was a breeze and try to establish something down there, maybe no or not.
No, listen, the Dolphins fucked themselves by getting them. The GM and the owner are so in love with Tua that they're not getting rid of Tua. They're not giving up on that whole thing for their 2 years. They're so the Dolphins fucked themselves. They could have easily probably got Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, anybody else besides Tua. And they're going to be stuck with Tua. You already have now in the locker room, defensive players are coming out and saying, I'm wasting my career with Tua. So when you have Dolphin players now saying, this quarterback is not going to lead us anywhere, you're fucked. Mark Burak with 200 stars. So Sean Payton's not going to go down there, even though the sun's amazing in Miami. He's not going to go down there. Track,
all right.
I mean, do you not agree, Brian?
Yeah, no, he's sitting. He's going to go up into the booth for a year, and then, you know, probably have a pretty good understanding of where he's going to be the following season. And I still think that's going to be Dallas.
I think so too.
And just wait. And if it's not Dallas, maybe Andy Reid decides to call it quits in KC. He's getting up there in age. And, you know, maybe he goes there.
How fucked are the Dolphins?
How fucked are they?
Yeah, I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean,
they're not fucked, but they're not fucked.
You have
a coach
that has to now go coach Tua.
But they're not fucked. They're, out of all the current jobs openings, they're one of the more attractive ones.
Yeah, but the Giants are the worst. But when you're now stuck, when you're
I mean, they're not as good as Minnesota or Denver, but I would put them above certainly the Giants and the Saints at this point.
But when you're coming in and you're being pretty much told this is going to be the number one starter.
Yeah, you got to deal with that. But you've got $66.8 million in cap space and you've got draft picks. I mean, this is not a bad gig to go into. Even if you lose with Tua your first year, then maybe at that point the GM and the owner are like, okay, we do need to make a move here, and you get a different quarterback in year two.
So you put more weapons around Tua and just pray to God that he does what?
That he gets better. I mean, and if he doesn't, then you pray to God that the GM and the owner see the light and move on from him. But that the Dolphins job is very attractive.
No, I know that.
I know some, you know, I've read some articles where they've ranked it as one of the bottom three jobs, and that's idiotic. This is, to me, it may even be the
Broncos job.
Broncos job's pretty solid.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about the Dolphins, though, is just the draft picks on top of the salary cap space.
Yeah, but the problem is that if the GM and the owner are both on the same page and you're a coach coming in, and really you're not able to pick your own players. I mean, look, they got rid of Flores, who I don't think should have been fired. But obviously he disagreed with the GM and owner on draft picks. So yeah, you have all these
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
But if they see their future with Tua and they're drafting around him, then, and you come in with a different offensive mindset, they're going to have to find a coach that's going to be able to work with Tua. I mean, is there anybody out there?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There right now that could take that over? I mean, we don't want to recycle the Detroit Lions coaches again because everyone else.
I honestly think the best coach for a matchup with Tua, although not best for this team, would be Leftwich. Given their style and their physical attributes, I think Tua is very.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Similar to Byron Leftwich, but he is going to Jacksonville, which we haven't touched on yet.
Yeah.
Which you and I predicted, and it made the most sense from the beginning. The second they fired Urban Meyer, to me, it was Leftwich's job to lose at that point, and I think he'll do well there. But as far as Miami's concerned, they just got to make a good hire. I don't know who that is, but they've got so much potential. They've got a defense that's great. They've got a few good young parts and pieces on the skill side of the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Jaylen Waddle really showed out this year.
But you don't find that to be a problem that there's the defensive players coming out and saying, listen, Tua's not the guy.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Whoever comes in, the only problem that they really have with this team is Tua and the attitude in the locker room. Everything else is a plus in Miami. Everything else. I mean,
No. I thought the Dolphins would be competing for that division.
Yeah, you
with
did.
With the Bills.
Yeah, I knew better. Because okay, I knew Tua was a fraud.
I thought Tua would at least be able to rise with the defense because their defense is really they're
well. Their defense, yeah, they didn't start out the year great, and they didn't beat a team with a pulse. But other than that, yeah, they had a good season.
But it is, I would say, top three head coaching openings.
Oh, it's top. I even probably put it ahead of Minnesota. I don't know what Minnesota's cap. Situation is looking like, but I definitely put, let's see here, Minnesota has got some cap issues. They're $12 million over, so based upon that, it's definitely better than. But Denver's got $44 million, so they're not a bad spot either. But at the moment, the Dolphins have the most cap space.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins with his $45 million cap hit.
Watch out for the Chargers too, man. They've got $62 million in cap space. And a pretty solid squad. And Justin Herbert was not the problem there this year.
So they
improve that defense. They get a shutdown corner in the open market. Watch out for the Chargers next year. They will be taking over my Raiders spot. I'll be all over the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I was looking at Minnesota right now. You know, with them is they got a $45 million on Kirk Cousins. And then, like, a Thielen and all those are, like, $16, $15 million. I mean, that's just... Kirk Cousins got to rework his contract.
Yeah, and he will. I mean, if they're going to decide to stick with him, you know, long term, he's going to want to rework that contract. He doesn't want to, you know, cost them a $45 million cap hit this season.
Yeah, he seems like a team player. Wasn't he driving his grandma's minivan, you know, to practice every day because he didn't want to spend money on a car?
Yeah, I mean, he's making good money. I don't think he's worried about the financial side of things now that his career earnings are at
over $100 million.
Yeah, he's at $161 million after next season. Now, he is a lame duck quarterback. He's in the last year of his deal. So
they got good wide receivers though.
Yeah, no. And Cousins isn't a terrible quarterback. The problem is he's a second tier at best quarterback. And so you have to have a really good defense to win with a second-tier quarterback in this league, San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's going to – a lot of people keep saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to go to San Francisco, and I just can't see the Packers trading Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco. One, they already spent a draft
two.
Pick on.
You two. You said one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
One, I don't see him trading it. Two, I don't see him spending that because they already – what? They traded up for Trey Lance. And Jimmy G, he's serviceable, but isn't the future in Trey Lance. And I don't think he's proven enough that anyone's going to trade for him.
I mean, I understand that they're winning games with him, but they're winning games with him, not because of him. He's not going out there and winning them the game. He's going out there and most of the times almost losing them the game, and they win in spite of him, not because of him. I look at that game against the Rams for them to get into the playoffs. He almost choked it away. He almost choked it away.
I don't want the Rams to be there.
Look, I don't want the Rams to be there either, but they may very well be. But they've mortgaged their future to win this season
and
next season.
And I hope they lose.
But that's what teams got to do. You have to do that in the NFL, which is why it makes no sense for the Saints to do anything but cut back this year.
You know who I think is going to be a dangerous team if we can start talking about the playoffs since we'll be done by one? Well,
we can go like 5 minutes over.
Okay, well. The Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, obviously.
Did you know? I'm saying their salary cap.
Yeah, obviously. They have $58 million in cap space. They have
the
best young receiving core in football. They've got a serviceable tight end. They've got a pretty damn good running back and backup. And they've got probably the best young quarterback in football. Excluding, you know, Josh Allen from the quote-unquote young quarterback club at this point.
Yeah, Joe Burrow. So that's what I'm talking about right there. Joe Burrows is. Well, I put an S on his name now because
now
it's
you're
going to
put
Super
an
Bowl.
L. You're going to put an L on his name after this weekend. But
I think
that spread. I like the 7.5 for him. Yep. But I don't think that they will beat Kansas City.
Well, they already beat him once this year.
Yep.
34-31, I think it was.
Yep, they sure did. I don't think it'll happen again.
Okay. Well, Joe Burrows.
Who do you got in that game?
Well, I got Joe Burrow, and right. I got Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, and who do you got in the second game?
Oh, we're picking the games now?
Yeah, let's get it out of the way.
All right, so I got Cincinnati, and I got, especially I like that spread, like you said, 7.5.
7.5 is juicy.
And I like the over at 54.5.
But if you like them to win outright, why don't you take that money line and
I'll be taking that money line, 275, and I'll probably take the parlay plus 275, 165 with the San Francisco 49ers. And Jimmy G.
Okay, I'll take the Rams. We'll be different on both.
There you go. Brian going with Kansas City and Rams.
Do you think the Rams' efforts to keep San Francisco fans out of the stadium will work?
I think it's chicken shit, but I don't think it is. I think San Francisco fans will pay a lot of money to get in there.
I will say this. If it were an established NFL franchise that had been there for decades, it's chicken shit. The fact that it's a team that's only been in the market for 2 years and one of them was no fans in the stadium, I'm going to give them a pass because they haven't had the chance to develop their fan base. And they're trying to do that right now with this championship run. I mean, they've gone all in on it. But I will give them a pass into making the efforts that they made to try to limit what happened to them the last game of the year, which was that stadium sounded like a San Francisco 49ers home game. And
But that just says it all. Is that people would rather, you know, I guarantee there's still going to be a good amount of 49ers.
Oh, there will be, absolutely. But what I'm saying is I understand and I don't hate on them for making the effort, you know, for putting in that effort to try and prevent the opposing team from swarming their stadium, given their circumstances.
What gives it that the Charger fans don't just buy up the 49er tickets or buy up the tickets and sell them to the 49er fans?
I mean, that's a very good way to make money on this, but you know, that's the chance they take. If they left it open, then all those Niner fans would come down from up north and take over that stadium.
I'm still mad that the Chargers left San Diego.
It was stupid. I really don't think,
I mean, San Diego should have a football team.
It's a beautiful city. They should have had a team. They got caught up in a stadium fight, and they lost their team because of it.
It's not like their attendance dropped, right? I mean, they were still, there was a lot of diehard Charger fans in San Diego.
It's all about franchise value, which is so tied to stadium and stadium quality.
Kind of like the St. Louis Rams.
I mean, watch. 5 years from now, the Bucs are going to start clamoring that they need a new stadium.
They've already started clamoring.
Right, right. But it's going to pick up. Right now, they're using that to – this is what they're doing. Right now, they're using it to justify the improvements.
Extra
money for, you know, Hall of Fame club area and all of that. Then 5 years from now, it's going to be the hardline stance of, oh, we've got to do this, this, and this. We have to. Because it's all about those billionaire owners trying to squeeze every penny that they can out of the local economy
and the local community. And they're going to rebuild it right behind Raymond James now, where the old Sombrero used to be. They're just going to keep flip-flopping it.
Yeah. The parking lot to stadium, parking lot to stadium,
exactly.
Parking lot to stadium.
Because, I mean, that's what they're going to do. Otherwise, they're going to put it where the old mall was, which is parking. But they're already clamoring for it now. They said the stadium's, you know, it's not up to date now.
It's stupid. It's a fine place to attend a football game.
Yeah.
It serves every purpose that you would want as a fan. If you're in the luxury suites, they're nice enough. If you're in the club area, it's nice enough. If you're in the concourses, it's nice enough. Absolutely be against, especially if there's any sort of tax increase at all, any local subsidization for it at all. Let them threaten to take that team somewhere else. Newsflash, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, they tried to do it before. I mean, that stadium is perfectly fine.
They are running out of cities that would be legitimate NFL franchise cities. That's their problem. I mean, San Diego's shown already that they're not going to pay for a stadium for a billionaire.
And realistically, a lot of the stadiums, you know, you're not looking at a... Yeah, I mean, with the COVID thing, but you're not looking at a, you know, trying to get a bigger stadium. I mean, that stadium will fit 65,000.
With the expanded bleachers that they can put in, it holds over 70.
When they first built that, it was supposed to actually have the 300 level to go where the close it in.
Yeah.
Like almost like the Ravens have. You know, they have a scoreboard underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they canceled that plan because then they couldn't sell out. So what are they going to expand it to? I think it was going to expand to like 80,000.
Yeah, that's just too much.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because the one season you're down, and now you've devalued your entire product because there's so many open seats. Nobody ever there's no scarcity. Scarcity drives demand, and that's why signing Brady was a genius move for them. Of course, in true Tampa Bay snake bit fashion, there's no fans for the 2020 season, and it screws them over. But
2021 was good.
But 2021, this year was good, and
hopefully 2022.
Hopefully, it's he's keeping us on the edge of our seats. Yeah, I think he'll come back for one more season, but that'll be it.
I guess Rob Gronkowski came out today and said, if they force me to choose
today, right now, because he doesn't know what Brady's going to do.
Exactly.
That's why, and that's all. It rests on that. So Gronk and Brady are a package deal. Although I know he has said, "Oh, I'll play without him." Sure. Because he wants to keep his options open, and he wants to, if some team was to throw 15 or 20 million at him at this point in his career, he'd grab it.
Oh, 100%.
Because he's totally underpaid for what he produces in Tampa. Totally underpaid. Like, he's a massive discount. He's probably 5 to 6 million below his market value.
But
this season.
I think he has a lot of fun here in Tampa.
Well, he likes playing with Brady. He has fun here in Tampa, and he doesn't live a lifestyle that requires him to make $20 million a year. He's saved every penny he's ever earned. I mean, the guy's worth $150 million, $200 million. I'm certain of it.
No. Have you ever met him?
No, I have not. Have you?
No.
It'd
be fun,
though.
He looks like he'd be a fun guy to hang out with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He looks like a fun guy to want to party with. Going to the, like, now with the coaching, like, there's really been no coaching hires. If you're looking at it, you got the Vikings still available, but the Bears are still available, the Giants. Like, who do you think the first team that hires a coach?
Well, Jacksonville did.
No. Now.
What do you mean now? Like, after Jacksonville did?
Yeah, like, no, but I'm
saying.
Who do
you think is the first team to hire a coach?
The team that's already hired a coach? The teams I was naming. The Vikings, the Saints.
Oh, from that
the
list,
Giants,
who's
yeah.
the first?
Yeah, the Dolphins.
I think it'll be Denver because they'll be the ones that will get to pick who they want.
But I was going to say, you don't think they wait to see what Aaron Rodgers does?
To get a coach?
Yeah. Because maybe Aaron Rodgers says, I'll come to you guys, but I want to have my own coach.
I think you land on a coach that you're confident through your talks with his agent, off the record talks with his agent that he's comfortable playing with for. And then you've got somebody that you're comfortable hiring and somebody that he would be comfortable playing for. You can't wait until franchise tag time to have a head coach. And that's Rodgers has already said that he's going to wait to see what the Packers do with that tag before he makes his decision. You can't sit there as a team. I mean, I suppose you could, but it would be foolish to not have your coach involved in the decision-making process as to who to tag and how you're going to structure your roster for the next year, because you don't even know what your identity is going to be until you get your coach in there.
Now, do you think the Giants are going to probably be one of the last?
I think it's the toughest. We were saying that before. It's the toughest job, man. It's the tough. They're not just the worst team. They've got salary cap hell on top of being a bad team. You know, they're $5.7 million in the hole, but they have so many glaring deficiencies that they have to try and fill. And so that's the problem for them. It's out of all those jobs that are open, the Saints now honestly becomes the worst, right? Because
it
becomes the worst from a long-term perspective. In the short run, it's a much better job than New York. In the long run, you've got 3 years, 4 years before you can possibly be competitive again.
Now,
there's just no way.
There's been rumors that Russell Wilson would actually go to the Giants.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Because obviously
that could impact
New York.
The coaching move, but how are they going to make that happen with trade and cap space and everything else? It's going to take some work.
Yeah, but I mean,
they would have to extend him long term, and so that means that they would be mortgaging their future. And then for what? They don't have the ability to go out and spend on the free agents that they need. Russell Wilson coming to that team doesn't solve anything. They have no wide receivers. Their best wide receiver is Kenny Galladay. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I mean, Russell Wilson.
Sterling Shepard can't stay on the field longer than 5 minutes without going out. He's the new age DeSean Jackson. They've got nothing. I mean, the Giants have no fucking talent. Barkley's done. Stick a fork in him.
Oh, come on. He's what, like 23?
He's done, dude.
Oh,
he's done.
Oh, you can't give up on him. He's still too young.
I can absolutely give it. Watch me. Just gave up on Sean.
So are you giving up on McCaffrey, too?
Oh, McCaffrey?
He's done, too?
He's done. His better days are behind him. I'm not saying McCaffrey's going to fall off a cliff, but his better days are behind him.
You don't think Russell Wilson going to the Giants could maybe make some wide receivers better?
Nope.
That weren't better?
Who? Who on that roster? Kenny Galladay?
Oh, but they bring in some cheap-ass free agents.
Cheap-ass free agents that, what, Kadarius Toney? Is he the answer?
Scotty Miller?
Let's see. What other wide receivers do they have?
I'm talking about bringing in some like low
Darius Slayton. They have those guys. That's my point. Their roster is full of those low end guys that suck ass.
Yeah, but they have Danny Dimes throwing to them, but he's only throwing pennies at them.
They've got an offensive line that can't block me. Okay,
they are awful. I wish I could see that.
Oh God, if anybody could block me. Are you kidding? Yeah, the lingerie league could block me.
Yeah, exactly. The guy walking over and would pancake you. I would love to see that.
But my point being is Russell Wilson alone does not turn the Giants into a fucking playoff team. And what's the point of bringing him in? Because you're nowhere near being a playoff team.
Sell tickets.
Who gives a shit at this
jerseys.
Point?
That's
you make what, your money. You're a New York team. You make your money no matter what. They don't need to do any of that stuff. And it's not like they're competing against the Jets for ticket sales. They're a fucking bigger joke than the Giants.
Hold on. No, the Jets are actually like kind of on an up.
Oh, yeah.
They are. They're coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that they're coming up? They pay hard for their coach. I give them one more year if they suck.
And then they pull the plug and they start from scratch again.
No, because if they don't keep improving, just like ACDC over there in Detroit, you know, you play hard, but if it doesn't turn it around, then you're just completely fucked. But the Jets, you know, they're kind of turning to that corner where they're playing every team close. They're playing hard.
The Giants weren't getting blown out. The Giants, not every week. They were playing teams close. They still suck. Here's the newsflash. You play teams close in the NFL. That's what happens all the time. They play each other close. Big deal. The only thing that matters at the end of the day are W's and L's. And the Giants and the Jets have a lot of them.
Yes, you're true. The Giants with the 44-20 against the Cowboys, the 38-11 against the Rams, the...
Look at the 30-10 end of the season.
Against the Bucs.
22-7, 29-3, 34-10.
Oh, close! 34-10 to the Eagles, 21-6 to the Cowboys.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. You can tell right here, after they beat the Eagles 13-7 somehow, they went, well, we gave up the season.
Yeah, they did give up the season.
Every game was, what, more than almost two touchdowns.
But the Jets were scoring a lot of garbage time points and making games appear closer on paper than they were.
Yeah, but...
I mean, they both were 4-13, Lummy. They both were 4-13. And you're talking about the Jets, like they turned this amazing corner. They won one of their last six games.
The BYU quarterback was hurt. They had the reject from the USF, Matt White or whatever his name was.
They inexplicably beat the Bengals and the Titans, and then their other two wins were the Texans and the Jaguars, the only two teams in football worse than the Jets.
Okay, well, guess what? You know what? They beat two playoff teams.
Yeah.
And lost to the number one and number two pick, I believe,
and,
right?
And the Giants beat two playoff teams.
Did they?
Yeah, and the teams that they lost to, I mean, the other two teams they beat were much better than the other two teams that that the Jets beat. They beat Saints,
they beat the fucking
Panthers,
Raiders. Fuck the
Raiders, and Eagles. Those are playoff teams, my friend.
Hold on, what week was that? Was that the whole controversy with the Raiders that they snuck in on them with, you know, where every single one of their players got arrested and their coach got fired?
Every week of the season for the Raiders after week six. After week six, their season fell apart.
I mean, whatever.
But they still stuck, you know, they stuck through it, and they had a chance on the last drive against Joe Burrow to beat them, and they let it go.
Yeah, and you know what happened? Joe Burrow said, I'm an extra person, and I win. You think Tom Brady comes back?
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's probably 60-40 that he comes back for one more year. I don't think we get two more years out of him. They need to be Kyle Trask better either be game ready or they need to have a plan in place for 2023 because his team still is going to be spending money and still in a position to compete.
You think they get rid of Blaine Gabbert and bring in a better veteran?
Backup? Yeah. No, because they'll turn it over to Kyle Trask next season if Brady is hurt. I mean, you have to, right? You got to see what you got. I mean, you used a second round pick on him. You can't sit around and say, oh, we have no intention of playing this kid.
I mean, the Packers sat there for 3 years with Rodgers.
Because they made the stupidest fucking draft pick ever.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't get any stupider than the Jordan Love pick.
No. I'm talking about when they saw it Favre and they drafted Rodgers in the first round. And he sat underneath Favre for, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah, because I think the problem with that was you didn't know what Favre was going to do. Right, and maybe that's the Jordan Love answer there, and maybe that's the Kyle Trask answer to the question here. And I guess it only looks stupid when the guy doesn't leave your team, right? Because if Rodgers left and then, you know, Love came in and actually performed, which he was never going to do, but let's say he was capable of that, then it doesn't look like a stupid draft pick. But when Rodgers comes back and ends up playing out his career for them, then it's pretty dumb.
I mean, I would love Trask to come through and, you know, just look like a complete superstar.
Newsflash, he ain't it.
You don't think Kyle Trask is it?
No. No.
You're not feeling him?
No. I think he had a lot of great players and weapons around him, and I think that Kyle Pitts and Tony and some of the guys that Florida had made him look a lot better than he was.
Are you Josh Freeman him now?
I'm not quite Josh Freeman-ing him, but no, Freeman wasn't even a great college quarterback.
Exactly, but he was a great NFL quarterback. He was. He was a hell of an NFL quarterback.
Really?
Yeah. The pills and the white powder really got to him, but he was a hell of an NFL quarterback.
Isn't part of being a good NFL quarterback not developing a substance abuse problem? I mean, isn't that like a very big part of it?
No, Brian, and he developed the right one. Cocaine and Adderall.
He had one good season, man.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He had three good seasons.
What seasons are you referencing? When he went 3-6,
douchebag
showed
up.
He went 3-6, 10-6, 4-11, 7-9.
Okay,
Brian,
those teams were a joke. And once they got hard-headed Rutgers douchebag in, if you look, by the way, before quarterbacks were throwing up numbers, 2010, by the way, he took over for Leftwich as a 21-year-old, is 3,451 yards, 25 TDs, 6 picks.
All right, let's look at 2011. 16 TDs, 22 picks. So he had one good season, point.
No, next year, if you look at next year, then he found the Adderall and the cocaine and 4,000 yards, 27 TDs, 17 picks.
17 picks is atrocious with only 27 TDs. That's atrocious, dude.
Brian, I don't know if you know this. There wasn't much around him.
I don't know.
He had Raheem
Morris.
Whatever his name was, he was going to Burns and
you
getting drunk on wine.
You do throw S's into people's names,
I do.
Huh?
But he was going down there getting drunk on Burns. They were all partying. Kellen Winslow. He has Kellen Winslow. Mike Williams like shot himself in the leg at a party. Kellen Winslow was raping 90-year-olds in trailer parks.
He had some decent guys around him. He failed.
He should not have been done at year 20. What do you mean? They all failed him. What guy besides LeGarrette Blount?
So his
left?
His last three seasons in the league, 45 touchdowns, 43 interceptions. 45 touchdowns versus 43 interceptions.
With a bad team. Name a wide receiver. This is going
to
be the
Josh
Freeman.
He went to Minnesota for one game. He completed 20 of 53 passes for 190 yards. I don't think there's been a player in the history of football who threw 53 passes in a game and didn't eclipse 200 yards, Lummy.
Hey, listen,
these fucking trash.
I watched that game,
by the
way.
Were you friends with Josh Freeman?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I watched that game, and they put him in a really
bad
situation.
Were you responsible in getting – they put him in a bad situation? They let him throw 53 times, and he only threw for 190 yards?
They had nothing else.
Dude.
They had nothing else that game.
Come on, man.
No, they had nothing else that game, and they just kept throwing it. And I'm like, what are they doing? But listen.
I'll tell you what he wasn't doing, completing any fucking passes.
He was telling him over it. He wasn't dialed
Dude,
in on his prescription.
I understand he was your friend, and you shouldn't have got him into drugs. Okay.
Can I just name one thing before we go? Because I know you got to go.
Yeah.
But if you look at his receivers in that year, just let me know any of these guys. And this is when he had his best year. We do have a phone call, but we have to
No,
go.
We can take it. I've got.
Sure?
I will grant you guys a few more minutes of my time because I do have fun with this show, and it's more fun than going back to work. And I had a 1:30 that canceled.
850. 850.
Going once.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, yes. I just got a quick question. I know I used to board up the show when Bubba was syndicated on 103.1. Well, back then it was 103.1 The Blaze, for the Man Radio now.
Yeah.
Quick question. Do you guys still do like tours for anyone who would like show up to the BRN? Are you guys still doing that or?
No, not really. Haas 990-499-1999 to Bitch Ain't One. No, not really.
Well, why don't you reach out to Bubba and
yeah,
see.
Send an email.
Send
show
an email.
At thebubbaarmy.com. But yeah,
I'm not going to discourage you because he's not going to turn people away necessarily. But reach out. He does have a smaller circle now, and the overhead's gone down. But if you're looking to try and do something with him, reach out to him.
No, he wanted to do a tour.
Oh,
just a tour of the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he wanted to come in and help out a little bit.
No, he wanted to do a tour.
I could do that as well. But you say he responds better by email, right?
Yeah. show@thebubbaarmy.com.
And if he responds to you after 3 p.m., disregard anything he said to you.
Exactly.
Because he's all pilled up.
Okay, so as long as before 3 p.m.
As long as he responds, no. You can email him whenever you want. If he responds to you after 3 p.m., don't expect him to remember what he said. He's not responsible for any emails sent after 3 p.m.
Okay. All right, man. Thank
you
for telling me that.
All right,
man. Take care.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Haas 990-499. You got that? 1999 and a bitch ain't one.
And a bitch ain't one. Okay.
All right. So let's let you continue to die on Freeman Hill.
Okay. Ready? All right. I'm just gonna name a couple of the players. You tell me if after leaving the Bucs, they turned out to be anything good.
After leaving, so they could have been good while they were on the Bucs
or good on the Bucs. Ready? LeGarrette Blount.
He was a good player.
Cadillac Williams.
Great player.
No.
No. No, what?
He didn't leave dick after he left the Bucs.
They don't have to produce. If they spent most of their career doing well for the Bucs. I mean, look, a running back only has a 3 to 4 year life expectancy.
Oh, by the way, when I'm saying this, Cadillac Williams had 437 yards and 2 TDs. Okay.
And what did
that's why I said the
Garrett Blount
have 1,007 yards.
So they had 1,500 yards rushing between their two running backs.
Ernest Graham.
That's a pretty good fucking team, dude.
Ernest Graham.
I mean, he was decent until he was. They got him at the end of his career.
All right, let's go to the wide receivers. Who? Ernest Graham?
Yeah, wasn't he towards the end of his career?
No, they drafted him. He was on the practice squad for like 5 straight years.
Yeah. So he was towards the end of his career by the time he played.
Arrhenius Ben.
Who?
Exactly. Well, there you go.
Was that the wide receiver?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on wide receivers now. Kareem Huggins.
I mean, every team's got a Kareem
Sammy
Huggins.
Sammy Slaughter. Preston Parker.
Preston Parker was a very good wide receiver.
Kellen Winslow.
He did better when he went to Miami and changed his name to Devontae.
Yeah. Kellen Winslow.
Kellen Winslow was a very serviceable NFL player.
Mike Williams.
Awesome.
Before he shot himself?
Before he shot himself. This is pre-shooting himself, right?
Yeah, true.
Okay,
Michael
thank you.
Spurlock.
He was a decent little special teams guy and kind of scat receiver. I like Spurlock a lot. Well, didn't he return to – wasn't he the first Buck to ever return?
Yes.
Okay, so the greatest special teams player in Bucks history? Non-kicker?
No.
Non-kicker?
And then John Gilmore.
Who?
John Gilmore.
That's my accountant.
Was he a tight end for the Bucs?
He had a tight end, my accountant. Woo. Yowza.
What, Brian, are you trying to say something, buddy?
No, I'm joking. I don't know who John Gilmore is.
Exactly. See, look, there wasn't a lot of players. It's all good. But you know what?
No, your boy was a cokehead. Look at his college stats, man. He was like 49% completion rating at Kansas State.
First-round pick as a 19-year-old.
He had physical tools, but inexplicably a first-round pick.
Okay, well, whatever, man. It is what it is. We're good off the Josh Freeman because he's like raising snakes in Kansas or something now. So,
is he seriously?
He loves
Do you
snakes.
Stay in touch with him?
No, I haven't talked to him since I think he got out of Tampa.
So, you know, the real measure of a player is, can you do anything once you get out of town? And he never did, man. He never did. He had one good season, and then he developed a lot of problems.
Exactly. A lot of drug problems. But, and alcohol. But listen, the Bears, last thought. What are they, do you see anywhere the Bears are going?
Do I see anywhere that
the coaching,
they're going?
Coaching, like, do you see anyone that really, like,
it's not
focusing
look,
on?
It's not an unattractive spot if it's, you know, it depends on what you do at quarterback. If Fields is the guy, then the Bears have a great defense. I would say an above-average defense.
Okay, thank you.
They have $34 million in cap space. They've got a good draft pick coming up. Again, not for, from a coaching perspective, not an unattractive spot. Who do you get? You better make a pretty damn good hire, because your last one was completely underwhelming.
Now, are you going offensive coach or defensive coach?
If I'm the Bears, I'm going offensive. You've got the defensive parts and pieces in place. You need to improve that offense. That's the thing that's holding them back from being competitive.
Is there anyone out there like a Dan Quinn, but he's defensive? So, like, is there anyone
Eric
else?
Eric Bieniemy?
Really?
I don't know.
What about the Raiders? You think they're bringing back your boy?
Rich Bisaccia, yeah. Bisaccia.
Yeah. That guy never gets a
No,
fair
but
shot.
If I'm the Bears, I'm hiring Eric Bieniemy. I don't care that he doesn't fucking interview well. This isn't a guy that I need to go out and recruit players. This guy I need to go out and win me games and make my offense better. So hire Eric Bieniemy, period, if you're the Bears.
Really?
Yeah, if you're the Broncos.
Mm.
Yeah. Think about it.
No, I agree
not
with
if you're
you
Minnesota,
on the Broncos. But,
not
but
if you're Minnesota. But if you're the Bears or you're the Broncos, you hire Eric Bieniemy.
The problem with the Broncos is that right now, I love Teddy Bridgewater, ride or die, but they need to get a quarterback.
And you can.
And if they can't get who? If they can't get Aaron Rodgers, who are they going to get? You think they're going to really trade the farm for Sean Watson with all his problems? You think they're going to try to get Russell Wilson?
I think Eric Bieniemy is good enough to win with Gardner Minshew.
I'd like Gardner Minshew, but...
I'm just saying, there you can do things. If you're waiting, you can be patient. You can find a one-year or a two-year gap filler until you get the guy that you need to take the next step. But... If you're a team that's built to compete and win now on the defensive side of the ball, which the Broncos absolutely are, and they have young offensive weapons, you know, Patrick at wideout, they've got Jerry Jeudy at wideout. Who's the other one? What's his name? Starts with an H, first name. Anyways, they've got wide receivers. They've got decent backs.
I think they go hard after.
After who?
After
who do you
Aaron
think
Rodgers?
But who do you think the Broncos are going to go hard after for coach?
Oh man, I think they're going to make a mistake. I think they're going to go after a young offensive coach. I think they're going to try to get like the Cowboys coach.
Yeah, I think that's stupid. Kellen Moore, not a good move. But Bieniemy's better.
He's hot though. That's the whole problem.
I know, and he's white, and that's why he's favored in this league. Black coaches are given. It's been shown the NFL has a really big problem with. The racial divide in coaching.
Are you talking about Kendall Hilton or Deshaun Hamilton? For your Broncos wide receiver.
I don't know. Who was the third one? Didn't they have another? Cortland Sutton. Maybe that was it. So they have Sutton. They've got Patrick. They've got Jeudy. And then don't they have one more?
He says Sutton, Patrick.
Sorted by wideout.
And Jeudy.
Oh, okay.
I did.
All right.
Patrick, Sutton, and Jeudy.
All right. Well, there you go.
But
that's,
I mean.
That's a pretty good core.
Yeah.
You can win with that with a good quarterback.
But I just see him going after an offensive coordinator. And I really think if Aaron Rodgers comes in there, it's lights out for the Broncos. I think it's another Peyton Manning type 2 years.
I think the only snake that Josh Freeman's raising is yours, Lummy. Your manaconda. You got a hard on for him.
I think he's a good quarterback, okay? And I'll fight for this to the day I die. I think that he got a raw fucking deal, Brian.
You think they should bring him back now? You
no,
think he still could do it?
He's too old now.
How is he too old?
He's like 33.
That's perfect age. He's older than 33. He's got to be.
He couldn't even make the Brooklyn Renegades or something.
That's my point. He's not fucking good, dude. He's 34. He's only 34 years old, and he's been out of the league for 6 years.
He was good.
He was a physical specimen that couldn't put it together.
He didn't have good coaching.
He didn't have it between the years.
Yeah, okay. You've got
to have the mental
either.
Makeup.
He didn't have good coaching, and he also, the players around him, like a LeGarrette Blount to a Kellen Winslow, were in Doug, what was the running back's name?
So the real question is, where do you think Urban Meyer lands? So he's the hot free agent coach this offseason.
ESPN for about a year
I
and a half.
I have 0% chance he gets hired by ESPN after this.
Then
Jaguar.
Fox News.
He is untouchable. Fox News or Newsmax or One America News, maybe.
No, Fox Sports, whatever. Fox Sports. He gets hired by Fox Sports, sits out a year, and then I think he gets picked up by an Akron.
I think he just needs to open up a line of strip clubs.
Steak joints with strip clubs attached to it?
Yeah, I think that's his future.
Called the Myers?
Whatever it is, he can recruit to that.
Is that your hot take for the day? That Urban Meyer opens up strip clubs in Ohio?
A chain of, Ohio steak. Strip clubs? Oof. Oof.
What's wrong with Ohio, Brian?
I mean, outside of the college towns?
I've never been to Ohio,
Has
Brian?
Miss Ohio ever won Miss America?
I don't think so, but I mean, I've never been to Ohio, so are you trying to say that there's some... some corn fed.
I'm just saying, I stand correct. In 1922 and 1923, they were from Ohio.
That was black and white before, when they liked the little husky.
It was the same lady. She won back to back.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
And then they won again in 38, and they won in 62 and 71. Hold on. Ohio's done pretty well. 77. Oh, and then something happened.
Yeah, something happened.
Something
though,
happened
right?
in 1977. It's been quite the drought for Ohio in the Miss America competition.
So is that what you're saying, where Urban's going? Is that your hot take, Urban Meyer?
Yeah, that's my hot take. Urban Meyer's going to go back to Ohio and open up a chain of strip house steakhouses.
You don't think maybe a little roast beef house? You don't think Tim Tebow will kind of vouch for him?
Vouch what?
Vouch is good.
The
character.
Guy had a serial killer on his team and didn't care. I mean, he's not a high character person.
Listen, Aaron Hernandez took his life. I mean, he was only convicted of what, one of the six charges? I mean, come on, Brian, you're a lawyer.
Come on, dude.
Wasn't he only convicted of robbing somebody?
He was only convicted in a court of because he murdered. I mean, come on, he killed himself. He murdered those guys. Come on, man. You're going to stick up for Josh Freeman and Aaron Hernandez in the same show, Lummy?
I'm just saying.
That's Lummy's hot takes.
No,
Hernandez wasn't that much of a killer and Josh Freeman was a good coach. There's your show summed up. That's your show summed up. You've been listening to the Lummy Sports Show. It's probably our last one ever because Lummy supports killers and mediocre cokehead quarterbacks who get his snakes up.
No, I was saying that's what Urban Meyer is going to say when he wants a job.
Oh, Lummy.
He's going to be coaching at Akron in about 2 years.
Oh, no, Lummy.
Akron, what are they?
The Zips. That's his chances of coaching in the NFL ever again.
Or the Ohio Bobcats.
That I could see.
He's going to be coaching in the MAC.
Yeah. He's going to get that hot action.
I guarantee, Brian, by the way, this is the last thing. I guarantee if you ran into him at one of the bars outside of the Lightning game, you would literally just be so.
Oh no! Oh, I am not a star fucker. Not at
I'd say you're
all.
A star fucker.
I don't know, but I don't
hold
see
on,
him. I don't get excited. I just say, "Oh, there's so and so."
No, you didn't let me finish.
No,
where I was going with it.
Where are you
is
going with it?
I think that you, especially if you're a couple Long Island's deep, you would go up and shit talk him so bad.
Who, Urban Meyer?
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't. No, not. I'm not
really?
Gonna. I'm not the type of person who goes up to a random individual I don't know and shit talks. That's not cool. That's dickish behavior.
I'm not gonna say anything on that one.
No, I did not go up to them.
The Jersey guy?
He came up to me.
I love you, Brian.
I love you too, Lummy. But I don't go up to random. I'm not looking to. For the most part, start shit. I'll finish it, but I ain't going to start it. So if Urban Meyer wants to come up to me and be like, listen, I listen to your show a lot. I'm a big fan. I listen to it while I finger girls at my bar and on the podcast. And
I heard you're a real shit talker.
I heard you're a real shit talker, and I want to talk to you about it. And then I'll get up in Urban Meyer's face. Him and I'll have some words. It'll be civilized.
I know where Urban Meyer's going. For this is the last hot take. What's starting in April?
The XFL?
USFL. They're playing every game in Alabama. It's not that long of a drive. What is it? Or
they've already named most of their coaches. What do you think is going to happen?
They'll fire somebody, and Urban Meyer's coming down here. Isn't there a USFL Ohio team?
No, they're not. That's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No, sir.
Urban Meyer is going to be a USFL coach.
Urban Meyer needs to simmer down for a couple years, and I think that's going to be it. His shelf life, his expiration date is come and gone. It's come and gone. The Urban Meyer days are over. And first of all, it should have never happened in Jacksonville. I think I was very clear on that before the season started.
Listen, Urban Meyer is going to come back to the Pittsburgh Maulers.
Are you working on putting together the cutting up all the clips from our very first show?
Yes, Brian, I have been.
And where do we stand on that?
I've been trying to work on your predictions for the season, which I was going to put together.
What about yours, too? I don't want just my takes.
No, it's both of ours.
Okay.
What we said for the Super Bowl and how the season would end, I want to do it for next week before the Super Bowl, you know, that week of off, and we can kind of play that.
The week of off.
The week the NFL is off, dickhead.
The week of off.
Plus, I got to make sure we don't get a copyright strike for some reason.
Not the off week, but the week of off.
The week of off. Listen, I just took my hot take, okay?
Before the Bowl of Super comes the week of off.
Yeah, before the Pro Bowl, during the Pro Bowl week, okay? The Bowl Pro.
The Bowl of Pro.
The Bowl of Pro.
The week of off.
Yeah, exactly. All right? And that's what I'm going to get it all ready to go.
We'll be back next week for the week of off.
Yeah, we're going to be back here of the week of off. Brian Hardy has his hot take of every opposite game that I pick. Bengals, 49ers, Super Bowl.
KC, Rams.
Yeah, typical.
Chalky.
Typical Brian liberal going with that one. So
yes, all the liberals are picking Kansas City to make it. And Kansas which is City, a more LA. Liberal city, San Francisco or LA, my friend? I'll tell you right now, it's San Fran.
I'm going to listen. I got Bengals. Well, fuck, they're all liberal cities. Who cares? All right.
Kansas City's probably the least out of those four.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Brian, are you going to be back at 4 o'clock next week, or we're just going to?
I'll be back 4 o'clock on the week of off.
The week of off next week. We'll be back here, double platform. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I know it was a 12-1, 24 show, but we'll be back. And don't forget, Bubba is live tomorrow, twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy, 6 a.m.
Babyface and Regina, 8:30 on The Big Show.
Yeah, who isn't more excited than everyone for that one?
Oh, bow wow.
So have a good rest
yourself.
Of your...
Love me. Seriously.
Why? I'm looking forward to you coming in.
No, that was sarcastic, and you know it. I'm going to give you holy hell tomorrow. I'm going to get you so much heat, motherfucker.
Why?
You're fucking with the wrong hombre.
I mean, just because
I'm
going to
come at you
my...
like you're Urban Meyer and I'm 4 Long Island iced teas deep.
Oh, I'm fucked. All right, everyone. Tune in tomorrow at 8:35 when Brian comes in here and literally makes me his little bitch. Twitch.tv/TheBubbaArmy. Thank you, everyone. See ya.